a glorious hope for the Christian at all times. Our God continues to be a God of surprises. Nowhere is that more evident than in the story of Esther. He elevated an unknown young woman, an orphan, a Jew, to the Persian throne. He moved in the heart of a powerful, moody, stubborn, unbelieving Gentile king. He turned the evil plan of an anti-Semitic official on its head and worked it to his own ends. He used a humble Jew in exile to change the entire history of a kingdom and a people. But don't think for a moment that God is finished with surprises. He continues to get our attention by using the surprise method. Just look back a few years. Anything surprising happen? What hope this gives us. God not only does the unexpected, he upholds the unpretentious. Do you know what that allows us to do? It allows us to take a universal message wherever we go, and it fits. You can step into the streets in an urban ghetto, or you can walk into the palace of kings, and it fits. You can take a message to English-speaking people, or go halfway around the globe to a culture and language altogether different, and it fits. His message is a universal message, and so the hope we have is a hope of shalom for the whole world. And in the end, never forget, he wins. Whether you believe it or not, God wins. Whether you accept it or not, God wins. Whether you even return to him in repentance, God wins. Whether you bow before him as a Savior and Lord, God still wins. Esther and Mordecai could have proclaimed with the Apostle Paul, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Right at the end of his life, the great apostle said, in effect, "And the best is yet to come. Of all things, he not only blessed me with his glorious gospel in my life, he waits to crown faithful service after my death. What a glorious hope is mine." In the end, he wins, as do all who serve him. Not pie in the sky by and by, but a permanent home in heaven, where we will know and experience an eternal existence of shalom. One man has written, "It is strange how when we imagine heaven, we think of it as somehow shadowy. We color it with tints of moonlight, sleep, and the faces of the dead. But there are no shades there. There is the substance of joy and the vitality of action." The substance of joy and the vitality of action. Now that's what I call a hope worth claiming. That's our future home. That is, those of us who know Christ. That's where all arguments, suffering, disabilities, handicaps, brokenness, losses, tears, and tragedies will cease. That's where God will reign triumphant in glory and majesty. That's where Christ will be the light, and where we shall see him as he is, no longer by faith, but by sight. No longer in hope, but in absolute reality. Lord, bring us back to the ancient message Esther portrays for us in her book. It's the same one that Jesus Christ not only declared, but modeled. Bring us back to the one who is indeed our victor. Show us the importance of a humble spirit and true character. Give us a sense of satisfaction in being in your plan, regardless of what that may mean for us on this earth. Give us the faith to trust you, even when you seem removed and distant. Fill us with hope as we anticipate the end that is sure to come. In the meantime, dear Father, make us responsible people who, like Esther, have been placed in our particular circumstances for such a time as this, that we might carry your message to a whole world. Give us her kind of courage and strength and dignity. And in that process, Lord, keep us from relying on our own ingenuity and determination. Remind us again and again that in the end, you win. May our hope rest firmly in your Son, Jesus Christ.